Welcome back to another episode of the Exterminatus podcast, episode 111 for those of you keeping score at home. My name is Eric. With me is my co-host, Ray.
Hello.
And this week we have multiple tournaments to talk about. Of course, the mega tournament everyone's talking about, the SoCal Open. We'll be going over that in great depth. But first, let's dive into a little bit of the news of the week, and most of it not coming from Nottingham. So Games Workshop did give a release. They were at a German game convention called Spiel, which, if used as a noun, means game. If used as a verb, means play. And it had this big tease that this would be the release, and it was nothing 40K related. We'll just say it that way. However, some guy in Spain, I guess he works for a GW shop, just got his order list of items when they're coming out and all their numbers, and conveniently sent it over to Fayette212. So we know the release schedule for the next 2 months. So what can we expect for the great 40K? How about November 23rd? Three new figures. Witch Hunter Inquisitors, one with Power Sword, one with Infernal Pistol, one with Plasma Pistol. A Demon Hunter Inquisitor with Grimoire. Two Demon Hosts, two different types. Vindicare, Calidus Assassin, Eversword Assassin, and Calexus Assassin sold individually this time. So pretty cool stuff, but I'm sure you want a little bit more. So while us fat Americans will be gorging ourselves on turkey and pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving, that Black Friday you'll be seeing on November 29th, start collecting Chaos Space Marines, start collecting Primera Space Marines, a new plastic Chaos Sorcerer, and, dramatic pause for effect, Psychic Awakenings Book 2, Faith in Fury. That will also include the Sisters of Battle launch set, $210 worth of plastic sisters that we've been waiting for, I don't know, 20 years now, finally coming out. So they'll be out right after. So it makes a great Black Friday gift. There you go. Want some more? We got more. Let's go on to the next month, into December. December 7th, all the holiday boxes come out. So that includes a Chaos Space Marine box, a Drukhari Battle Force box, a Blood Angels Battle Force box, a Tyranids Battle Force box, Space Wolves Battle Force box, a Tau Battle Force box. So all these run about $170. For some reason, the Blood Angels and Drukhari go for $185. No idea why. And then, that's right, Blood Angel fans, why would I possibly want a new Battle Force box to go with your brand new plastic Mephiston, which is supposed to come out December 7th? Tyranid player.
There's also another.
What's up?
I'm just going to jump ahead a second because it's going to bring it all in. The third Psychic Awakening is also slated for this weekend, and it is Psychic Awakening Blood of Baal.
Pretty cool stuff. Tyranid players, yeah, just disappointment. Your Hive Tyrant and Termagants get a repackage, but no new models. Sorry about that. But for those of you who are just, what else could you possibly have besides Psychic Awakenings on that same weekend? How about Chapter Approved 2019? So get your money ready for the first week of December. Lots of new stuff being released on that particular day. Those are also, if you're into the Kill Team annual, will be also coming out that weekend as well. And then as for rest of 40K, just taking a quick look at the list. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's pretty much it. So the good news is you'll have the rest of December off when it comes to 40K. So stock up then and have yourself a merry holiday. So we don't have any exact details what's in these Battle Force boxes, what are the new stats for Mephiston or any of these other new characters, but the long and short, and we have some hints of what's going to be in each of the Psychic Awakenings box, which we talked about last week's episode. So you might want to download episode 110 if you want to hear that again. But lots of stuff on the horizon to round out 2019. Excuse me. So very exciting news nonetheless. Ray, any of those in particular you're waiting on?
I'm curious to see what all gets thrown into the third book, Blood of Baal. I'm guessing it's basically just going to be Blood Angels, Tyranids, and probably Necrons, since I'm assuming that it's going to have to do with the leftover events from the, what was it, the Shield of Bala stuff that happened.
You know, the Necrons and the Blood Angels were bro-hammering together.
Well, I mean, at this point, in it's kind of not so much. It's kind of a oversimplification of the way that it's written out now. But yeah, it's more like we're not going to shoot you if you don't shoot us. We're going to focus more on those guys.
Makes sense. Yep.
But I'm really, yeah, and I'm really hoping to see Plastic Satan with that. I mean, we'll see what ends up actually happening, but it'd be really great to see some Plastic Satan.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Part of me, when it comes to the Plastic Satan, part of me wish that you could make a kind of a mix and match, because I did like the old build your old Satan rules. I think they were kind of fun. And so that'd be kind of cool to make your own. Or I'm still rocking my metal Nightbringer, so he gets the job done. But good grief, that thing, it's like a paperweight and a half. So,
yeah. And we're definitely going to be, at this rate, we're going to be seeing more Psychic Awakening books, at least one more. They have said that they're going to address all the factions. And I mean, we haven't seen everybody get addressed. We have not seen the Harlequins get addressed. We have not seen Thousand Sons get addressed. That's something I could very well see, two factions being pit against each other in a book, just because of all the stuff with the Black Library of Chaos. We also have not seen Death Guard or even the Black Legion get addressed. Although I could see them not doing the Black Legion because they were a pretty big focus in Vigilus.
But do we see Space Wolves yet? Are they? I
don't
think they're in book two. I'm trying to remember.
No, they're not one of the ones shown for the Second Quickening book. But again, we'll have to see. I don't think that this is going to be something that's only three or four books. I definitely see this as being something that's probably going to take place over a year or maybe two. There definitely looks like they're getting, at least according to the rumors, they're going to, I'm surprised at how quickly the first three are going to be coming out. But, you know, this next book I think is going to be almost exclusively just for like slight changes in rules and
narrative stuff. Yeah, I'm shocked actually.
Which is why I don't, kind of not surprising. Like the Blood of Baal one where they're going to be addressing Necrons and Necron Tyranids and the Blood Angels, we're seeing, at least as of right now, by the looks of it, one model, which is Plastic Fiston. Fingers crossed, hopefully, at least something from the Necrons. That's still, that's just a book. Until we're not seeing these books necessarily set with huge model releases. I mean, we saw a box set with the first one. We might see box sets with the futures. They're not necessarily tied together.
Now, I'd be curious to see, one thing that's quite clear is that, is there going to be another box set for each book? Doesn't look like it. So now it's just a matter of, okay, what's in that book? Because these are all going to change around quite a bit. There's only four factions in book one. There's like 11 factions in book two. So what else are they going to bring to the table on each of these books? So very interesting. Curious, could you have Build Your Own Dynasty for Necrons, just like we had this last book? So don't know. So a lot more to investigate. And of course, as we hit more breaking news, we'll post it up on our Facebook page. But this was sort of the big news in terms of what's coming out over the next I'd say 45 days here, or almost 60 days. So pretty exciting stuff coming out. A couple other things as well for some other non-40K related items. So if you're into those games, definitely check out the Fayot 212 article, and you can see what else is going to be coming out for those favorite games. So beyond that, I think we've got, as I said, 7 tournaments to go over. Ready to tackle them?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do that right after the break.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
Welcome back after the break. As mentioned, 7 events to get to you. We'll start off in British Columbia, Canada, at Kipper's Melee. Ray, who's our top 5 there?
All right. In 5th place, we had Ian Harris playing Astra Militarum. In 4th, Jesse Baker playing Drukhari. 3rd, we had Gary Sacco playing Eldari. In 2nd, JT McDowell playing Drukhari. And in 1st, Cameron Bowler playing Imperium.
Cameron's list is a mishmash of Adeptus Custodes as well as Knigets and Admech. So quickly, he has Trayvon Valeris in his command spot, then Flexor Praetor, and 3 Palace Gravitak with twin Arceus Blaze Cannons, and then 2 Caladius Grav Tanks with Accelerator Cannons and twin Lastrum Bolt Cannons. He then adds on a Admech Spearhead Detachment to something we haven't seen so far with Stygies 8, and then he adds 3 Scorpius Disintegrators, and I can never pronounce this guy's name. Daedalusius, I think is his name. He's from one of the box sets. He's actually quite powerful. He's really good at healing tanks and stuff. And those Scorpius Disintegrators, man, those things are a pain in the neck. I hate those things. And then last but not least, he's got a Knight Crusader with Heavy Stubber and Venger Gatling Gun and Rapid Fire Battle Cannon from House Crast. I was right the first time. So a pretty basic list, something we've seen quite a few times, but congratulations, Cameron, for going 5-0. What event are we going to next?
The Edmonton Onslaught.
I give you 5 guesses where this event was held.
Edmonton?
Excellent choice. We're a top 5 for this particular event.
All right. In 5th place, we had Brady Mills playing Tau Empire. In 4th, Jake Beamer playing Adeptus Astartes. In 3rd, Wesley P. playing Imperium. 2nd, Osland Meloch playing Assyriani. And in 1st, Darren Jack playing Forces of the Hive Mind.
Yep. And Darren's list looks something like this. He starts off with a High Fleet Leviathan Battalion featuring a Malanthrope and a Neurothrope. He's got 3 squads of Termagants, 2 of them are 25-man squads, 1 of them is a 24-man squad, 3 Zoanthropes, squads of 4. And then he opens up a 2nd battalion. This one happens to be Gene Stealer Cults, a mixed attachment of Creeds featuring, give me one sec, a Jackal Alphys and a Magus, 3 units of Acolyte Hybrids, and then a Kellermorph, followed by a unit of Adelant Jackals with demo charges. 5 of them to be exact. And then he ended up with a 3rd battalion. This one had to be Twisted Helix, featuring a Patriarch, a Primus, 3 units of hybrids. These are Acolyte hybrids. A full 10-man unit of Aberrants, and a Biophagus. So he's got a Muscle Beach detachment, followed by kind of a Quickie Bike detachment, and then, of course, the Leviathan fleet to control the board with. So very, very balanced list, and something we've seen a couple times, but nice to see that in first place. He's the only player that went undefeated in this event.
All those that oppose the elf fear my wrath.
Right, where do we go to next?
The Steel City Showdown.
One more time, I give you 3 guesses where this was.
Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Steel City, USA. Who's our top five here?
In fifth place, we had Ryan Snyder playing Adeptus Custodes. In fourth, Ken Knox playing Iron Hands. Third, Jeffrey Beeman playing Orcs. In second, TJ Lanigan playing Chaos. And in first, Lewis Stolberg playing Cult Mechanicus.
So interesting, TJ coming in second, picked up 189 points. Will that be enough to catch to Jim Vessel? Because he has been trailing him the last, feels like last 9 weeks. But let's take a Lewis Stolberg's list. He's playing Cult Mechanicus and is your winner. He starts off with the Forge World Mars Battalion, featuring Belisarius Call and the previously mentioned Daedalus. He's got a unit of 5 Gataphron Breachers with Arc Claw and Heavy Arc Rifle, and 2 units of Rangers with Galvanic Rifle. In the Elite slot, he's got 10 Infiltrators, all with Flechette Blasters and Taser Goads, and then 3 Scorpius Disintegrators in the Heavy Support slot, and a single transport, of a Scorpius Dune Rider. Then brings out a Stygies 8 Battalion featuring 2 Tech Priests. 5 units of Skitarii Vanguard, 2 with Plasma Calvers, and everybody else with Radium Carbines. He's got 3 Scorpius Dune Riders to get them around where they need to go. And then last but not least, he's got Adeptus Mechanicus, Forge World Bars, Spearhead Detachment featuring Tech Priest, and 3 Onager Dune Crawlers with Broad Spectrum Data Tethers, Icarus Arrays, and Cognis Heavy Stubbers as well. Interesting. I'm assuming he's got the typical laser setup that most of them have, but it's not mentioned there. Okay. So there's a lot going on in this list. So I think the hardest part is a lot of long-range shooting. The Scorpius Disintegrators do not need line of sight, so they're able to bombard down deep. He's got a fair amount of transports to get his infantry where they need to go. And, of course, the Onager Dune Crawlers are great for sitting back and opening fire. And then you just want to see something. That Spearhead Mars as well? Yeah, so they're all Mars. So all his heavy support shooting is Forge World Mars. So they park themselves all around call to re-roll everything. So lovely. Quick look at TJ Lanigan's list, because he also went 5-0, just came in second. TJ's list starts out with a battalion of demons, undivided, bearing a Poxbringer and Changeling, a unit of 10 Brimstone Horrors, 1 unit of 28 Plague Bearers, the other, 30 Plague Bearers, the other of 22. Then takes a Supreme Command Detachment featuring Ahriman and 2 Demon Princes of Zeech, and Magnus the Red, and then follows it up with a Spearhead Detachment featuring a Poxbringer and 3 Plague Burst Crawlers. It's been a while since we talked about those guys in a while. But a classic list brought back out of the mothballs. See if it does well in this meta.
All the secrets of the machine.
All right, we leave Pittsburgh. Where do we go now, Ray?
The Autumn Hull GT.
Lovely Hull, England. Who are our top five there?
In fifth place, David Tapper playing Tau Empire. In fourth, Robert Anderson playing Drukhari. In third, Nathan Whitbread playing Imperium. And second, Thomas Dutch playing Iron Hands. And first, James McKenzie playing Genestealer Cult.
Take a look at James's winning list here. Genestealer Cult features a battalion of Plated Cog, featuring a Patriarch and a Jackal Alpha, 4 units of 10 Neophytes with 2 Mining Lasers and 2 Webers each. A Colomorph, and then he opens up a second battalion. This one happened to be 4 Armed Emperor, featuring an Acolyte Icon Ward, a Primus, 2 units of 14 Acolyte Hybrids plus the Leaders to make up a total of 15. Together with 6 Rock Saws, so keep your heavy weapons away from that thing. And then a unit of 10 Brood Brothers, a Clamavis, and a Nexos. And then he finally ends up with a third battalion, this one being mixed. But he did make them Anointed Throng from Vigilus' book. includes a Magus, a Patriarch, 20 Acolyte hybrids, two units of 10 Brood Brothers, a unit of 10 Aberrants, it's 8 power picks and 2 improvised heavy weapons. So they're loaded out to the gills. A biophages, never get that right. And then a unit of 4 Adelan Jackals. So lots of toys in that list.
The enemy wishes to fight, brothers!
We leave lovely England. Where are we going to next?
Next one is the 40K Fun and Fluff Grand Tournament.
Also in merry old England, actually. It's just staying in England. Never did figure out where in England they were. But that's okay. The event's over. So if you wanted to go, you're too late. Who are your top 5?
In 5th place, we had Simon Pritis playing Adeptus Astartes. In 4th, I'm guessing Julio. Cesar Grimandi playing Drukhari. In 3rd, Josh Hill playing Blood Angels. In 2nd, Michael Costello playing Talarn. And 1st, Chris Tull playing Necrons.
You know, it looks like they, because that seems to be the overall rankings. I bet you they.
No, he's.
Because I have different rank.
Really? Well, yeah. I've only seen. Oh, wow. Look at that. Yeah. Now that I actually go down and look, they did do overall. Oh, look at that. Overall. Is yours just straight battle points? If so, why don't you go ahead and go off the list?
Okay. Sorry about that.
I'm not the one. I'm the
so
one.
So your top 5 for this particular event? What's that?
I'm the one that wasn't paying enough attention to realize that they went overall.
No, no big deal. I just noticed, like, hey, I have something different. And then I looked, because I have a little button on mine, I can turn overall on and off. And I was like, that's what he's reading. Ah, okay. So in 5th place, Josh Hill with Blood Angels. 4th place, Michael Costello comes in with Talarin. 3rd place, Andrew Bourbon with Cult Mechanicus. 2nd place, Chris Tull with Necrons. That's right, I did say Necrons. And in 1st place, good news, it's Simon Pritis, who we've talked about being in 1st place, but he's apparently abandoned Greenskins for Adeptus Astartes. So what did he leave the Greenskins behind for? An Iron Hands successor. Took Scions of the Forge and Stealthy. And the Tin Pigeons Battalion, as he calls it, features a Chapter Master with a Jump Pack, Storm Bolter, Chain Sword, and made him his Warlord with Will of Iron. And they also have a Lieutenant with also a Bolt Pistol, Chain Sword, and Ironstone, also with a Jetpack. He's got two units of 5 Intercessors with Stalker Bolt Rifles, and 1 unit of Scouts with Camel Cloaks and Sniper Rifles. He's got an Invictor Tactical Warsuit, a Relic Dardero Dreadnought, 4 Centurion Devastators, a Stormhawk Interceptor, and a Stormraven Gunship. It's a pretty short list, but those are some chunky models. Not exactly the most travel-heavy army, but that is indeed what he's given up. So from a guy who used to play with 200-plus models, he's got like 50 now. But congratulations on taking the Fun and Fluff Grand Tournament.
Unleash all fury upon them!
Where do we go to next, Ray?
All right, our next and final stop is the SoCal Open 40K GT.
All right, lots to go over there. But before we go over the top 5, a quick thing here. A couple names that you know and love, we talked about in previous episodes. So what do Nick Sutherland, Brandon Grant, Michael Snyder, Dan Olivas, Rich Gelton, Don Husen, Ryan Mead, and Jim Vessel have in common? All of them have won majors this year. All of them took a loss on day 1, which meant day 2, this tournament was wide open for somebody to make a splash. Did it happen? Ray, tell us who the top 5 were.
Well, in 5th place, we had Nick Nanavati playing Adeptus Astartes. In 4th, Stephen Pamprain playing Raven Guard. In 3rd, Colin McDade playing Imperium. In 2nd, John Lennon playing Adeptus Astartes. And 1st, Brian Pullen playing Tau Empire.
So we got three players who ended up going undefeated: Brian Pullen, John Lennon, and Colin McDade. Stephen Pampreen, interesting enough, coming in fourth, not with the works, again playing Raven Guard. Nick Donavade also abandoned his previous Gene Stealer cult for Adeptus Astartes. Other players of note: Richard Siegler with Tau Empire coming in sixth, Nick Sutherland with coming in seventh with Orcs, Junior Effigy with Imperium coming in eighth, Brandon Grant came in ninth with Astra Militarum. So some of the big names that we were expecting at the top of the list just came a little bit short. You know, that one loss was enough to put them in very, you know, a lot of company of tough players, but to win this event, it needed to go 6-0. So let's take a quick look here. Brian Pullman, his list looks something like this. He was playing Tau Empire. He starts out with an Outrider attachment of Tau Sept, featuring a Enforcer battle suit and three units of the same, eight shield drones and three marker drones. Then takes on a Vanguard attachment, also Tau Sept, featuring a Cold Star battle suit and three Riptides. Then finally takes a Battalion, also Tau Sept, featuring a Cold Star suit and Ethereal, three units of, looks like, five strike team fire warriors, and two shield drones in each of their squads, and then a unit of Pathfinders. This I thought was interesting because they took the Pulse Accelerator drone, as well as the Grav Inhibitor drone, as well as two shield drones, and he's got the five Marker Lights with Pathfinders. That was funny. Five Pathfinders with Marker Lights. So Brian Pullen, if you haven't recognized this name, definitely deserved this. He really ran the gauntlet of top players to get to this championship. Starting off a round one, he played Michael Snyder's White Scars. So that's a hell of a first round opening way to start the tournament with a very tough matchup. Then played Camden Desden with a Raven Guard army. They were actually the Forge Worlds, the Space Sharks, the Carba, I can't remember what they're called.
The Gachardons?
Can never pronounce it.
Space Sharks.
Yeah, them. Yeah, Space Sharks.
Everybody knows what you're saying.
Yeah, of course they do. Round three, played Aurelio Carrera with his Raven Guard. So he had two Raven Guards in a row. And then he played Ray Omuda with Craft Worlds. And interestingly enough, he was by far the highest ranked player to use the Phoenix Rising information. It was a little bit of confusion whether Phoenix Rising would be allowed or not. People assumed that they would have the usual 3-week moratorium, but that was not the case. So he was able to make use of some of the new Craft World, custom Craft World rules, particularly the plus one charge and the ignore cover. Nick Donavati was his fifth round opponent, playing Iron Hands. And then finally played Junior with the mix of Knights and Imperial Guard, which is a pretty classic list, but still pretty tough in this particular meta. So that was quite the gauntlet to run to get to the first place. Now, second place with John Lennon. So traditionally known as not only a player from Florida, but also as a player who made Gene Stealer cults get attention. Interesting enough, he is playing Adeptus Astartes now. This list looks something like this. He is playing a Battalion of White Scars to start, featuring a Chaplain with a Jump Pack and Litanies of Hate, as well as a Chaplain on Bike, featuring a Combi Melta and a Twin Bolt Gun. He's got three Scout Squads of five, and then opens up a second Battalion. These also are White Scars, featuring a Captain with Jump Pack, Storm Shield, and Thunder Hammer. That becomes his Warlord, featuring also a Librarian in Terminator Armor, and three Scout Squads of five. And then two Centurion Assault Squads of five each. And finally rounds out a Spearhead Detachment of Iron Hands. It's a successor detachment featuring Master Artisans and Stealthy. And his HQ slot is a Venerable Dreadnought, followed up by three Eliminator Squads of three, a Mortis Dreadnought, and two Thunderfire Cannons. Now, interesting enough, same tournament, same results, going 6-0, but his path was very different from Brian's. So round one, he faced Jonathan Blake with Eldari, kind of a classic mix of Harlequins, a Drakari Grotesque Bomb, and then a whole bunch of Craft World Flyers. Round two, he faced Chris Nelson, who had Plague Bearer spam. Richard Cozart, probably his first tough opponent of the weekend, featuring a mix of guard. And this is something, if you haven't seen this before, he put all his Punisher tanks as Talaran so he could outflank them. So nothing worse than a tank with a Punisher Gatling cannon coming in on your flank. Then he kept it icy with Kenny Boucher in round four. Kenny's rocking a list of three Chaos Knights, two Helldrakes, an assortment of Cultists and Chaos Space Marines. Then he played the top Blood Angel player of the moment, Thomas Eggstrom Oakley, with his patented Blood Angel list. And then finally, Carlos Kaiser, featuring a mix of Space Marine and Custodes in the final round. So, again, a very different path of play, but same result, going 6-0. And then the last is Colin McDade. So Colin's list, also an Imperial number list, looks something like this. He starts off with a battalion of Blood Angels featuring a two Slam Captains. So one with the Efficiency of Sanguinius. Oh, they both do, excuse me. So Thunderhand, Storm Shield, and Jump Pack. Three units of five Scouts. And then he opens up a second battalion. These happen to be Death Watch, featuring a Librarian with Jump Pack, a Watch Captain, and three units of the following. Two Terminators, a Vanguard Veteran, five regular Veterans with Storm Bolters, and then a Watch Sergeant with a Storm Bolter and Storm Shield. So he's got a ton of Storm Shields, so that's five, six Storm Shields. And then the guys that don't have Storm Shields are the Terminators, which already have two up armor. Nice. This last battalion comes in. They are Ravens, call them Raven Scars. They're Raven Guard's successor chapter, and he gave them Hunger for Battle and Long Range Marksmen. They feature two captains, Thunderhammer, of course. The other one is a chaplain with Jump Pack as well. Two infiltrator squads, one scout squad, and then a centurion squad of five. So apparently assault centurions are definitely a thing. So Colin's path to victory, also very different. First round, he played a Nids list, which featured 90 Leviathan Gaunts.
Wow.
I don't think... that's a lot. Yeah. And then the rest was like Gene Stealer Cult add-ons. It was crazy. And I just can imagine those centurions just sitting there, just keep shooting. Basically, you're going to either shoot till you run out of ammunition or you're going to die. So, second round, friend of the show, Ben Jurek, took on Colin. And Ben's mixed up his list. He's finally abandoned the freebooter list that made him famous. And instead, an army that featured 20 Meganobs in his list. Third round, he played Zach Nelson, featuring Ultramarines. Then he took on Richard Siegler, obviously one of the best Tau Empire players in the country currently, and he ended up finishing in the top 10. Then faced off against Jeff Jew with Iron Hands, and then last but not least, Alan Marshall with Ultramarines. So, 1, 2, 3 Power Armor lists, and then 3 Xenos lists. None of them being Eldar. So, very different paths to get to 6-0, and a very interesting tournament nonetheless. As I said, a lot of those front runners took an early loss and just had to play catch up. A lot of defending champs from other tournaments also did very well, but I think the biggest story of this is the last of the Megas before LVO, and players are switching armies, and they're just jumping on that Space Marine bandwagon.
Yeah, they are.
So it's just a very interesting trend to see that. Like I said, there's kind of a push with the holidays coming up. Realistically, there is 9 weeks between now and LVO. So you can get a lot of practice time, but there's no real practice like true tournament experience. But as we look ahead to next week, we'll talk about next week's schedule later in the show. There are quite a few tournaments, but nothing on the major level. So be curious to see how much practice players get to make their big push. Probably the other big note is, yeah, Jim Vessel. We wished him best of luck before this. I guess we were the we jinxed him. It was our fault, right?
I don't know about that one.
Yeah, he ended up dropping two games and early on, and then decided to forego his sixth game of the event. So he finished well below the somewhere in the, like 150th place or something like that. So only mustering 76 points. So this game will not be in his top five, will not bolster to his lead. So it'll be interesting to see if people are able to gain ground on him after this particular event. Ray, any other thoughts on SoCal for this year?
It was definitely surprising in many ways. There are things I expected, like lots of Space Marines, things I didn't expect, like Tau winning it all. but I think I'm ready to move on to the next part, which is the build up to the LVO.
Yeah, one thing I was also seeing with, you know, with so much Space Marines, not much from Psychic Awakenings yet. I think I saw two players really take advantage of it. Ray, we mentioned before, and I apologize. There was a Drukhari player who also used his Make Your Own Covens list. And I forgot that gentleman's name. I want to look it up just to be informative. So I don't think we've seen the full brunt of that Phoenix Rising book yet. But interesting enough, two more books are going to come out before, at least two more books are going to come out before LVO. So be very curious what happens, you know, how much that changes things moving forward.
I'm pretty curious myself.
All right. We'll keep tracking that week after week. So keep listening to our future episodes as we see how these guys shape up and how these lists take shape over the next few weeks leading up to LVO. We're going to take a quick break, go over your IGC Top 10, as well as next week's events right after this break. Does your game day fare leave your fingers orange or your game table pizza stained? There is a better option. You need the Necronom Nom Nom. Yes, that's right. The cosmic horror and great cuisine become allies of convenience with this darkly humorous, gorgeously illustrated, and simple-to-use guide to insanely good food. 50 recipes arm you with breakfast, lunch, and dinner from drinks to dessert in this unique grimoire of forbidden recipes. Don't tell the Inquisition, but you can tell your friends to find it on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Brought to you by the madmen of Red Duke Games, take the pizza shop off speed dial and treat your players to something new and delicious from the Necronom Nom Nom. Welcome back after the break. Here's your ITC Top 10. These are without the events and results from the SoCal event over this past weekend. Should be updating later in the week, so take a look back to the website or our Facebook page to find out the more updated standings. But as of this moment, this is a Monday night after the event, your top 10 looks something like this. 10th place, Ben Sherwin. 9th place, Matthew Ali. 8th place, Nicholas Rose. 7th place, John Lennon, who was indeed one of our top players in that particular event. 6th place, TJ Lanikin, who came in 6th in another event we talked about earlier today. 5th place, Chris Blackham. 4th place, Nick Nadavati, who placed in the top 5 at SoCal. 3rd place, Manny Chima. 2nd place, Richard Siegler, who we also mentioned this week. And Jim Vessel maintains his top spot, did not pick up any additional points at SoCal, but still maintains a 78-point lead over Richard Siegler. So I'll be curious to see if he's able to catch up to Jim in any fashion. So, Ray, what events do we have next week?
We've got the 9th GT Talavera at Talavera de la Reina in Pepino. Oh, it's in Spain. It's in Toledo, Spain.
I'd say I'm more excited about going to an event in Toledo, Spain than Toledo, Ohio, but... That being said, there's actually some really good players in Toledo, Ohio. I should make fun of them. I used to work in Toledo, Ohio, so that's why my company headquarters was there. It was not a fun place to visit.
Also, there is the TOK team tournament in Sweden. There is the Front Range 40K ITC GT at Hobbytown in Westminster, Colorado. There's the Ironman Extra Life 40K at Abu Games in Abu Games, Boise, Idaho. There's the Rolling Dice to Save a Life Warhammer 40K charity event at Imperial Outpost Games in Glendale, Arizona. There's the Mid-Mo Maelstrom at the Ashland Optimist in Ashland, Missouri. The Blood and Glory 40K Championships at the Roundhouse in Derby, England. And actually, that's it.
All right. As I mentioned, any additional news or updates, we will post them on our Facebook page. Also, take a look there for any additional updates. Also, our event coming up, the Scorched Earth Open, March 21st and 22nd at the Arizona Game Fair. Tickets are available through the Arizona Game Fair website. So until then, my name's Eric.
I'm Raymond.
And thank you for listening to the Exterminatus podcast.